All right, y'all, what's going on? What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 95. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. Welcome back, WMMA fans, back with another episode again. And I have to say it's been a pretty good week. Hope everybody else had a good week out there, you know. But as far as, you know, just for fights, you know, pretty decent week, enjoyable week, you know, going back to Wednesday, of course. And, you know, had a good card on Friday with Bellator. And this past Saturday's card wasn't bad as well with the UFC. So I got a few things to talk about. This ain't going to be like a long, long episode, but just a few things I want to revisit as far as fight week. And a couple other things that's, you know, on the horizon for WMMA. So, yeah, man, let's kick this episode off. First, let's talk about Invicta FC 48. I want to say shout out to everybody that came out, you know, for the fight companion. You know, everybody tuned in as well as watched the fights on the YouTube channel for Invicta FC, you know, because the fights are free there. You know, you don't have to pay for anything. They don't do the pay-per-view thing anymore. They just use the YouTube channel to put these cards up, which I think is a good idea, you know, as far as building WMMA up. Because Invicta FC, I don't think they ever really had that pull to put a lot of pay-per-view cards out. You know, I miss when they were on the UFC Fight Pass app. That was probably one of the best ways to watch it. But the next best thing is the YouTube channel, because that you don't have to pay for, right? So, yeah, that kind of works out for everybody. So, yeah, shout out to y'all, you know, that tuned in on the Fight Companion. Had fun watching that. So I want to go back through the results and, you know, fill y'all in on which fights I like, which fighters I'm a fan of, who y'all got to look out for, and so on. And next topic I want to go through and just, you know, give y'all the results on some of these fights from Bellator 283, you know, Vidia Ortega versus Vanessa Porto. And then we can kind of talk a little bit about Molly McCann and her win over Hannah Goldie. And Manny Boehm dropping another loss, taking another L to Victoria Leonardo, right? So let's go through those fights. Then we'll talk Rodriguez-Lemos a little bit. Will this fight lead to a title shot for either of these fighters? Let's talk about it. And Nama Yunus versus Andrade 3. That's on my wish list now. So I want to give y'all my thoughts on that fight. And Chikagin versus Manon Fiorot gets pushed back once again. Give you my thoughts as that'll be the final part of this episode. So, yeah, man, make sure y'all subscribe to the channel, Combo Breaker 99, and y'all can check this show out on iTunes, Spotify, LinkedIn, Stitcher, Google Play, all of that, man. So just type in hashtag CB99 Talks. So, yeah, man, going back a few days, let's go back to Wednesday to Invicta FC 48. Again, shout out to y'all. I had fun calling the card with y'all. You know, it was a good card. You know, we had a lot of finishes on this one. You know, we had some good back and forth action. Now, I know the main event wasn't what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted it to be explosive, but that's how it plays out sometimes. You know, first off, I got to say shout out to Tanisha Tennant. She's Ann Steele. She defended her belt for the first time. And like I said, you know, she's been out for about 11 months. She hadn't been active since the last card. So, since she won the belt, you know, so I can't knock her on the performance. And, you know, styles make fights. I mean, she did what she had to do to win, right? So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But, definitely turned out to be a good card overall. I mean, we got one TKO, two split decisions, and three rear naked chokes. So I can't complain. You know, I can't complain. We got enough finishes on the card to make up for it. And we had one explosive fight, too, between two strawweights. So, let's pull this card up here real quick, and we'll just run through the results here. So, first fight on the card was a bantamweight fight between Autumn Norton and Maria Hugic. Autumn Norton scored a second round TKO over Maria Hugic, who I've seen fight before for PAWFC. Autumn Norton, she started her career off in Invicta FC, and she's been going here. You know, this is her third fight. So, yeah, man, Autumn Norton, she went in there, got this solid TKO victory over Maria Hugic. I didn't see it coming. I was actually leaning towards Maria a little bit here, but Autumn Norton, good skills, you know, definitely showed a good showing of power, head movement. I mean, from the jump, first round, she was tagging Maria with these good leg kicks and just showcasing this head movement, just dipping in and out. Hugic, she was getting off her shots too as well, you know, some good hard leg kicks. Both of these girls were throwing with power, you know, but it was Norton who had more power. I mean, she was just planting these deep kicks that kicked Maria across the cage. Planted a good left hook on the chin of Hugic, dropped her. Hugic rolled over to get back up, only to get put into a dog fight with Norton. I mean, a lot of mauling in this fight, but Hugic, you know, she showcased some good skills, you know, good jab. just her head was straight up and down. So she was taking some big shots here. You know, she did open up Autumn Norton's nose as well. So both fighters were pretty bloody at the end of the first round. So you could really see they were going at it. But Autumn Norton, to me, like I said, she had the power edge. You know, she definitely had the power edge and the head movement and a little bit more slickness to her. So last round, Norton, she just came straight out, tearing her down, landing those good leg kicks, good right hand. So she planted another left hook, dropped Hugic, finished her off with some ground and pound. So I was like, yo, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of both fighters. But yeah, like I said, Autumn Norton, you know, she definitely got a nice little skill set and a nice little entertainment value to her too. So yeah, shout out to Autumn Norton, you know, solid TKO over Maria Hugic. Second fight on the card was a featherweight fight between returning Invicta veteran Amber Lee Brock. Y'all know she was started off in Invicta. I know she went to some other organizations, but she went to Invicta, went to Bellator, and now she's back. So Amber Lee Brock bounces back, been out for a little bit with a first round submission win over Morgan Fryer. Morgan Fryer, you know, she's fought in PFL. She's been in the PFL tournament like 2 or 3 years ago against Kayla Harrison. Been inactive for a little while, so this is kind of a bounce back for her. But Lee Brock went in there, showcased some good skill, fighting in close in the clinch, you know, working some good knees, fighting good, well out of range. Morgan Fryer was just kind of sloppy with her takedowns. You know, she was just really diving in, trying to clinch up the taller fighter. She went in for a sloppy takedown, got the takedown, pulled Lee Brock down, but Lee Brock got on top. And basically, you know, right, Fryer, you know, she just gave up her back and boom, it was textbook. Lee Brock locked in a rear naked choke. So good comeback for Amber Lee Brock. Third fight this year was probably fight of the night for a lot of people. Isis Verbeek, she scored a split decision win over Melissa Odessa Parker. Good back and forth action, man. Going into this fight, I said, you know, this one's tough to call because Verbeek and Parker, they bring it. They both bring it. You know, Melissa Parker, for one, you know, she's a former boxer. She still boxes a little bit, but she's a dog in there. You know, she has power. She's been transitioning into MMA pretty well as far as bringing over that dominance factor. But Isis Verbeek, I said, you know what? I got to lean towards her in this fight because she has more tools just as an all-around good kickboxer. And that's what she showcased. Parker really pushed her, but Verbeek just had enough tools to edge out each round. I mean, the first round was close. It was tight. But Verbeek, she was mixing it up with a lot of leg kicks, whereas, you know, Parker was landing more punches. She was landing punches and kicks. Then going into the second round, she opened up with a flying knee and dropped Parker. I mean, she ran across the octagon and boom, they met in the middle, boom, and she caught her, dropped Parker. I thought Parker was done, but Parker bounced back up only to fight harder throughout the round. And almost, I think this was the round she almost stopped Verbeek at the end of the round. Like, Verbeek started to gas a little bit from all them clinch exchanges. And when she caught Verbeek with a couple of good right hands, you know, she was on wobbly legs, but she survived. You know, she just kept up her volume and stayed in. Third round, Verbeek, I think she edged it out with more volume. Parker, she was landing some good left hooks, good pressure on the inside, you know, a lot of clinching. But Verbeek was just landing a lot of good shots, you know, good knees, a lot of good, you know, Muay Thai, just a lot of good Muay Thai techniques in there as well. So I think Verbeek, she edged it out, you know, went to the right, definitely went to the right fighter in this one. You know, I think Verbeek just had a good attack off the cage. You know, she used defense well. And, yeah, just the volume overall. But Parker, you can't count her out. I hope they bring Parker back as well as Verbeek. But Isis Verbeek, I told y'all a year ago, she's definitely one to look out for. Don't be surprised if she winds up on the contender series in, like, another fight or two, for sure. Next on the card was a flyweight fight between Christina Williams and Liana Parazin. Shout out to Christina Williams. She's getting better. She proved me wrong. I was leaning towards Liana in this fight, but Christina Williams scored a first round rear naked choke over Parazin. I mean, right away, the hand speed of Parazin was a factor. You know, she was in and out, landing some good shots. But Williams, you know, she's been mixing it up lately. You know, her stand-up game's been getting better, mixing her combinations up. She was able to land some good right hands and keep the range with head kicks. I like the right hand left hook combination to Parazin that was landing. But Christina Williams, you know, she kept range later throughout the round, caught Parazin with a good right hand, dropped her off balance, and boom, she was on the back as soon as Parazin tried to get up. She put the weight down. Guess what? Rear naked choke. Parazin tapped. So, yeah, that's a good win for Christina Williams. I wouldn't be surprised if Christina Williams becomes flyweight champion. You know, I stand on that. I think Christina Williams has been getting better as a fighter. highest level she's lost to is like Denise Kilhose and Juliana Velasquez. You know, she even beat Emily Ducote a little while back. So she definitely got some skills to her. So, you know, Christina Williams, she might grab that Invicta FC belt pretty soon. We'll see. All right, let's go to the co-main event. Talita Bernardo versus Yana Gadelha. I picked a veteran in this one, UFC veteran. Talita Bernardo, she scored a second round rear naked choke over Yana Gadelha. I mean, this fight here, on the feet, it was kind of back and forth. The stand-up wasn't too great. I think Gadelha had the edge with his stand-up. You know, they were both landing some good leg kicks and, you know, some back and forth strikes here. But it wasn't until it got to the ground that you seen both fighters shine. I mean, Yana Gadelha had good top control. Almost got a heel hook in this round. You know, just a lot of good transitions in that first round. Gadelha in the second round started to step it up with her stand-up. But Bernardo, she got an easy takedown and, you know, just showed that good transition. I mean, she's a black belt. They both are black belts, actually. But she was actually able to just maneuver and get to the back before Yana Gadelha could turn on the inside at one point. And boom, another rear naked choke on the card. So, yeah, this fight, you know, it wasn't explosive on the feet, but that's what happens sometimes. You know, when they went to the ground, it turned into a good submission game and definitely a good jiu-jitsu match. And I had to go with the veteran in that one. So, yeah, Talita Bernardo made a statement with this win and could be leading towards a title shot. We'll see. But speaking of bantamweight title shots, Olga Rubin moved down to 135, came over to Invicta to take on the bantamweight champion and Tanisha Tennant. And she put up a good fight. She put up a good challenging fight, though. You know, I won't say it was like a great performance, but she gave the champ a tough fight, you know, as far as her style. You know, Tanisha Tennant, she edged out a split decision win over Olga Rubin. Some people didn't feel too impressed by this performance, but I thought Tanisha's convincingly won. I thought she solidly won the fight. You know, I think a lot of people were just looking at the pressure and the takedowns, but if you ain't doing anything with the takedowns, I really can't give you the rounds. I watched the fight three times. I think Tanisha Tennant, she clearly outlanded and outstruck Olga Rubin throughout these rounds. There was just a lot of clinch control time from Olga Rubin that wasn't really doing much, but the shots that were being landed were Tanisha Tennant. You know, if you go back to the first round, a couple of takedown attempts, I think it was like three from Olga Rubin, but Tanisha bounced back up each time and just outlanded, you know, leg kicks, the body shots, you know, just overall landing. And then same with the second round. You know, second round, there were not as many takedowns from Olga Rubin, so Tanisha just outstruck her again. And again in the third round, you know, just her just pretty much walking her down and landing more shots on Olga. You know, Olga started to look a little bit gassed in that third round, but she would kind of go on the back foot and just stay on the bike sometimes to stay out of range. Then she would try to dive in for these takedowns just to try to steal minutes, you know. Then going into the fourth round, I think this is the only round I could give Olga Rubin where she almost had the buggy choke when she took Tanisha Tennant down and just had her in that scary position that almost looked like a submission for Olga Rubin, but Tanisha survived. Then going into the fifth round, I think, you know, Tanisha just closed it out, you know, outstriking, backing her up, landing some good shots, almost looking like she was going to stop Olga Rubin a couple of times, you know, straight hands to the body, right hands. And yeah, you know, when it came down to it, I'd say 4-1 for Tanisha Tennant. You know, that's how I had it, 4-1. First time fight companion night, I said 3-2, but in between entertaining y'all and talking to y'all and watching the fight, sometimes it gets hard. You miss certain things. So when I watched it two times by myself, I said, you know, Tanisha got this, 4-1. You know, couldn't really give Olga too many moments in the fight because she didn't really land anything big. You know, she didn't even hurt Tanisha Tennant. You know, she was the bigger fighter in here. She was the bigger, stronger fighter, but even the takedowns didn't really mean much, right? So I think it just didn't look too impressive because Tanisha wasn't stepping on the gas a lot. She's very technical. So a lot of people had a lot of criticism about her. But I still think Tanisha's a very good technical fighter. But there's no shame in getting some more work in. You know, at 5-1, I don't know if it is wise to go to the UFC if you are going to be dealing with big, strong fighters right now in the bantamweight division. You know, I think it would be wise to, you know, continue to work on being more physical with certain fighters and just working on your ground game. You know, I think that would benefit Tanisha right now. As far as style, you know, I know a lot of people say, oh, she's too boring, you know, the UFC ain't gonna sign her. You know, I'm looking at skills too. You know, from my logic, I think they could use her because they need more technical people. I mean, they sign a lot of people now that don't fare well in the UFC, right? And then the UFC winds up saying farewell, right? Because they don't really work out. So to me, it wouldn't really be like a mistake. You probably get somebody that in there that has some skills and get some good wins, you know, not just somebody that's going to go in there and draw blood every time, right? I know that's what Dana likes, but to me, I think she's worth signing. You know, I stand by that. Like, that's the same thing in the boxing world. Like, not everybody's going to be blood and guts and go in there and to get hit. You know what I mean? There's got to be different styles. Like, everybody thinks that to be in the UFC, you just have to have an exciting style. No, like, some people like technical skills. You know, you still need technical fighters in the game. I mean, that's what's going to separate the best from the worst, you know? So I think she's still good. But in the meantime, yeah, I would just rack up some more wins and, you know, build up your skill set dealing with bigger fighters. That's the only thing I think. Like, I think it has nothing to do with her being boring to me. I think it just has to deal with more of just dealing with more experienced veterans along the way. You know, Ogurubin was a big fighter. That's somebody you want to deal with. So in the meantime, I think taking on a veteran in Talita Bernardo would benefit Tanisha Tennant or Serena De Jesus. You know, continue to fight those girls until you get that call from whether it be Bellator or whoever at this point. You know, just continue to fight these fighters and beat them and just hone your craft. That's what it's about. It ain't really about being exciting. Maybe here and there you want to pull the trigger, you know, if you got somebody out of there, because Tanisha, I think she did have Ogurubin hurt a few times. And, you know, Oga's big, but, you know, Oga was, like, shelling up a couple of times. So there were a couple of times maybe she could have got stopped. So maybe sometimes about pulling the trigger. I don't think it's all about being reckless. Like, don't stick your chin out. Don't put on, like, fight of the night. But if you do see the opening, take it. You know, it's like being a sniper. You know, if you see that opening, take it. That's what it's about. Not about just being reckless. So maybe more of her just being a quick sniper. That's something she could do in the future. But yeah, shout out to Tanisha. You know, she defended her belt. It's been about 11 months since her last fight, so I give her some leeway. I mean, she's coming back in a grappling tournament, and I think in a few days as well. So, you know, she's working on her game, y'all. I think she just needs to get, you know, a little bit more active out there. So I'm not going to knock her. You know, some people are already talking about her style. Oh, is she boring? Or, oh, she's not a good fighter. You know, I hear the same thing in boxing all the time. You know, styles make fights, and everybody just wants somebody to get knocked out, or they want somebody with brain damage, and you know how it goes. You know how it goes with the casual fans, so I ain't going to knock it. I like the card. I enjoyed it overall. I think this is one of Invicta FC's one of their best cards to me, you know, and I go all the way back to, you know, the very beginning. So to me, this is definitely one of their better cards in a minute. You know, let me know what y'all guys think. But, yeah, I enjoy calling the card with y'all for sure. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on the Invicta FC card. Check it out on the Invicta FC YouTube channel. And, yeah, let me know what y'all think. If, you know, if y'all missed it, or go watch it, give me y'all thoughts on the fight. So, yeah. But let's talk about one of my favorites, Vanessa Porto, this past Friday too, man. Vito Arteaga scores a second round submission over Vanessa Porto. Now, I picked Vanessa in this one, you know, because she's a, like, over 34, 35 fight experience fighter. Vito Arteaga, she can be reckless, but Vita, she proved me wrong. Arteaga, however you want to call it, I'm going to call her Arteaga. Arteaga, she went in there and showed some good improvements in her game. You know, she's still got that gas tank about her, got that relentless pressure about her. And she never stopped trying in this fight. You know what I mean? I know Porto, the first round, looked like she, to me, edged it out because she landed the better strikes. Beautiful right hand she kept cracking Arteaga with minute after minute, and just landed the better strikes. But Arteaga started coming on stronger, you know, with the combinations. And going into the second round, just sticking with it. You know, landed a good elbow or forearm that opened up a cut on the hairline of Vanessa Porto. Vanessa Porto just looked a little bit sluggish in this fight. Even the first round that she won, she started to look a little sluggish to me. You know, she was getting a little bit flat-footed and slow. She started getting hit with a lot of leg kicks and body shots. And then Arteaga just caught her with a good body kick, and they hit her with like a three-punch combo to the body. And that just forced Porto to switch levels and try to drop down and get a takedown. And she just drops her knees and gets caught in the guillotine and gets choked out. I was just like, wow, like, this ain't the Porto I know, you know? Like, I expected her to be a little bit more crafty with her takedown attempts and, you know, setting up her strikes, but she was just kind of going through the motions, you know? So I don't know, man, it might be time to retire. I mean, she hasn't really looked the part of the experienced veteran at this point, even since fighting, I think it was Liz Carmouche, since she came in to the Bellator umbrella, you know, she just hasn't looked that part. So I don't know, you know, it was a good fight, but I just think Vanessa Porto has seen better days, and I might give her another chance or two. You know, Bellator might give her another chance or two, but I don't know if she'll be able to get to that belt if she's losing to fighters like this, you know? So, yeah, that was 283. That was the only women's fight they had there. Ortega submitting Vanessa Porto. So, yeah, Ortega, on the other hand, you know, she's getting there. Maybe a fight between her and Deanna Bennett or Justine Keach. That's a good fight for her. You know, she's tough, man. She's tough. She gets stronger in every fight. Still a little wide open for certain shots, but, you know, she makes up for it with her relentless pressure. So, yeah, that was a good one, y'all. Check that one out. That's on the YouTube channel for Bellator because it was on the prelims. Yeah, this past Saturday, I know we already talked about the fights a little bit, but let's just run through them. Mandy Bohm dropped the decision to Victoria Leonardo. It was 30-27. I agree with that. You know, I just think Victoria Leonardo, she's not like the best at, you know, any one thing, but she never stops trying. And I think that's where people forget about her sometimes. Like, she lost to Manon. Yeah, she lost to Melissa Gatto. Okay. Lost her only, you know, first two fights in the UFC, but those were against high-level fighters, right? But the thing about her, she never stops trying. That's why I was kind of leaning towards her against Mandy Bohm. But then I said, you know what, Mandy Bohm, I'm going to give her a chance. I think she's strong enough. She's got the game. She's got the stand-up game, takedown defense. But once again, man, she just couldn't pull the trigger. Like, she's just fighting behind these fighters. Like, she's just a couple of clicks behind them. Like, Victoria Leonardo was just bullying her in there. You know what I mean? Like, Mandy would throw a combination, then boom, boom, Victoria Leonardo coming back, putting pressure on and just landing on her, you know? So Mandy, at this point, she needs to really step up her game. She's really on the chopping block here. You never know if the UFC make cuts. She might just be one right now. Like, she's 0-2 already, you know? Same with Victoria. She's in the same position Victoria Leonardo is, you know? So if she can't separate herself at this point from these type of fighters, it might be time to get cut and try to go back to Bellator, go to Invicta FC, you know, because she just didn't really show much of anything, you know, good long jab and good right hand every now and then, but there was no assertiveness behind it. You know, at least Victoria Leonardo, even though she is limited, she still comes with pressure. Like, she's still trying. Even when she fought Manon and Gatto, she's still always trying until she broke her arm in that one fight, right, against Gatto. You know, she's still trying as a fighter. So, I think, you know, Victoria Leonardo just saved her career. But Mandy Bohm, I give her one more chance. I say, yeah, we'll put her in there with Courtney Casey. And, you know, whoever loses that fight, you know, they get their walking papers, you know, just to kind of start separating the weak from the strong now. You know, it's just all about how it should be. You know, the flyweight division is growing. You got the tough house fighters coming in. So you got to make room for who really wants to make it, right? So, yeah. Molly McCann did what she was supposed to do. I'm going to just start it off like that. Molly McCann scored a first round knockout over Hannah Goldie. I think we all knew that was going to happen. Hannah Goldie moving up from 115 to 125. This girl is big. You know, she's got a great shape, you know, great muscles and all of that, big traps and biceps. Looks good as a bodybuilder, right? Like a, you know, fitness model. But when it comes down to fighting, you know, muscles aren't really needed. You know, Molly McCann, skills is just levels above Hannah Goldie. When it came down to boxing, to striking, Molly McCann went in there and just started landing that right hand at will. Hannah Goldie showcased the strength for like a couple of minutes, maybe like a minute for the round. And then Molly McCann just started putting the shots on her. You know, good right hand, rocks her. And then the spinning back fist came in, put her out on the fence, combination, boom, 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 and she's out. So, yeah, Molly McCann just, to me, did what she was supposed to do against this level of opponent in front of her home crowd. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's why I said, look, I'm gonna do a video on this. But look, like I said, you don't have to be a champion to be a star. You don't have to be a champion to be a star in the UFC. You just got to find your lane. And Molly McCann has done that. How? Well, number one, she has a crowd behind her. You know, she has a country behind her. She has a crowd-pleasing style. And as long as the UFC continues to give her the right opponents, she'll continue to get finishes and she'll continue to bring people in. And that's what it's about. The UFC doesn't really care about your position as far as are you champion or not. They want to see you finishing people. They want to see you putting on entertaining fights. And they want you to make money for them. And Molly McCann is doing that. She's bringing her country in along with Patty the Batty. She's bringing a lot of people in, even as an unranked fighter. So Dana White and the organization, they stand to make more money off an unranked fighter like Molly than, let's say, a number seven or number eight that is not really bringing in, that doesn't have a country behind them. Even though they got talent and they got technique, that's going to keep them where they are. Like, they're not going to get cut as long as they're getting a couple of wins. But Dana's going to play more favoritism towards that fighter that is unranked and can still bring in a lot of money, right? So that's what it comes down to. So Molly McCann is sitting pretty, I think. You know, if they continue to give her fighters like they are, you know, she's good to go. Give her the Jocelyn Edwards, you know, or the Hannah Goldies, you know, more Priscilla Cachoeira type of fights, you know, the Mandy Bohms, the Courtney Casey's, those type of fighters, she's good to go. I mean, eventually I'd like to see her take a crack at a top 15. But in the meantime, right now, if you just want to entertain the crowd and you want to see some energy and some craziness, that's why I said the other day when I posted that Molly's a nut. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that because once again, she jumps out of the cage and just runs around the cage acting a fool again. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it's about for her, right? She's bringing that energy. So I'm cool with that. So where she stands is where she stands. That's what it is. At least she's not begging for money. She's not complaining about, oh, I'm being underpaid. Oh, man, like everybody's ducking me. Oh, I'm calling this person out. At least she's not even calling out the champion. Right. You know why? Because she's fine where she is. She's fine where she is right now. And that's why we can't complain about that either. You know, that's what I'm just saying. Like when somebody's doing them and they found their lane, you just got to give them credit. And I'm all about that. It's just like movies, man. Like, you got your Oscar winner movies, right? You got your actors and you got your A-list actors, you know, the movies that always go to film festivals, this and that, they go to the Oscars, the Golden Globes. Okay, we know how to criticize and critique those movies, and we know where we stand with those A-list movies, right? But then there's the underground movies, there's the art house movies, or there's the low-budget horror movies, the stuff I like, right? There's the low-budget movies that continue to bring in a fan base and a type of money. Okay, they don't have your Denzels and your Tom Cruises and all of that and your Johnny Depps, right? They're not Hollywood movies, but they still have a backing. They still have a crowd, and they still have a big crowd and a big cult following. So they have a lane. They found their lane. So if you would do it just like, if you were doing the movie rankings just like you were doing the UFC rankings, you got your low budget to your high budget. If your low budget is bringing in some type of money and some type of following, you know, you can't compare your low budget to the big budgets, right? That's what separates them, right? As long as the low budgets continue to do what they do and they're not trying to compete at the Oscars and complain, why are we not in the Oscars? Well, for one, your low budget, right? You know, so they already know they're low budget. So they're just accepting that lane and they're just doing them, you know? So it's the same thing here. You know, Molly McCann's unranked, but she still has her thing and she's going to continue to do it. And we can't knock that, you know? So if she doesn't want to fight a top 15 or she continues to beat these fighters, we can't call her a cherry picker or anything like that. It's just, we could just call her a prize fighter. That's what it is. Like, to me, it's a cherry picker mostly whenever you're building somebody up or overhyping them, or like you continue to feed your rank fighters, these bums to get to a champ, right? Excuse the term bums, but you know what I mean. That's what it seemed like in the boxing world. But, you know, Molly's just doing her, I think, at this point. I mean, eventually she might want a 15, maybe not. She acknowledged the call out of Miranda Maverick. But before Miranda Maverick can worry about that fight, she's got to get by Shannon Young first. You know, so we can't even talk about that fight yet. I mean, eventually I want to see it. But until she beats Shannon Young, then we'll talk. So, yeah, that that's a good fight on the horizon. You know, both unranked again. So Molly McCann is just doing her. just doing her, fighting another unranked fighter next against Miranda. So that's cool with me, you know. So yeah, you know, you don't have to be a champion to be a star, you know. So yeah, good weekend of fights. Patty the Batty, he got it done in two against your man Jordan Leavitt. I mean, Jordan Leavitt, you know, respect to him. You know, he's a good wrestler, good grappler, but I think he just underestimated Patty the Batty's improvements in camp. You know, he gave up his back, gave up his neck a few times in there because he thought the grappling wasn't up to par with Patty, and Patty put it on him, right? So, yeah, satisfying weekend of fights, yo. So, yeah, let's talk about this fight again real quick. Marina Rodriguez and Amanda Lemos is going down October 22nd, UFC 280. UFC 280 is looking like a stacked card, hopefully. Fingers crossed, right? Rodriguez and Lemos. Like I said, this ain't a fight I really asked for. It's not really a fight I asked for. But now that it's made, I'm kind of like, yo, that's not bad. You know, just, again, it's like a movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really a movie I asked for, but when you got two actors that you like in the same, you know, in front of the camera at the same time, you're like, oh, wow, okay, I'll take that. I never thought of it, but yeah. You know, especially right now where Marina Rodriguez stands, she stands to lose a lot with this type of fight, right? See, if she was fighting somebody like Rose Namajunas, you know, there's a lot to gain from that one. You know, there's a lot to gain from that fight because she's fighting somebody right there that can get her closer to a title shot. Now she's fighting down against Lemos and could possibly lose that shot because Lemos is dangerous now. You know, Lemos, okay, we saw what happened against Andrade, but, you know, when Lemos is on her game against the rest of the top 10, Lemos is dangerous, right? So Lemos in this situation, to me, she has more to gain. You know, whereas Marina, she's going to have a lot to lose. You know, she's got a lot to lose out of this one. And like I said, even if she was to win, the question is, would it guarantee her a title shot? Maybe. Maybe not. I say maybe. It could, because Dana White, again, he likes entertaining fights. And when he sees somebody that puts on big statements, shows blood, and gets knockouts and puts on entertainment, he rewards them. He'll reward them. Aside from money, he will reward them. And if Marina erases her last performance, which is against Yan Xiaonan, with a win over Amanda Lemos, even though she's number 9, he could very much well say, okay, she's holding down her 4th spot. Even though she beat a 9, she did it in dominant fashion. Let's give her a title shot. She's on her 5-0 win streak. Boom, she's good to go, right? So that might be his thinking. Like, the Rose fight might have been offered to both her and Rose, but maybe Rose turned it down. So they said, okay, we'll do the next best thing. Beat Lemos, and you're next in line for sure, right? So Dana probably has that type of logic. He says, erase that Yan Xiaonan fight, because I want somebody to go in there and put on a good fight for sure. Like, I'm still trying to rinse my... Dana's probably like, I'm still trying to rinse my mouth out from this bad taste from this Rose Carla fight. So I need somebody that's going to guarantee me an exciting fight. Between you and Lemos, y'all could do it. So I want to see one of y'all come out the winner in dominant fashion by knockout. And then, boom, you get your title shot. That's probably his logic with that. So, yeah, Marina's going to have to go in there and look good in this fight. And she's going to have to look dominant. You know, she can't go in there running from the power, getting dropped, getting taken down, getting close to submitted. Marina's got to go in there and execute and show that dominant fighter that she was, you know, in the Ebos fight, in the Dern fight, you know. For Amanda Lemos, this is a good one for her, you know, because it puts her back in. It could erase the Andrade fight and, you know, what everybody's saying about her, you know. I think that before she can actually contend for the title, I want to see a few things she needs to tighten up on, right? Right. Like, she has some good things going for her. Like, she definitely does have underrated jiu-jitsu. I think a lot of people forget about that because they just see the power. But I think she needs to be a little bit more of a patient puncher. You know, she's got to pick her shots, not throw with the same intensity, and start stalking more. You know, she needs to start stalking more, and she needs to stop loading up on the power. Like, the power's there. The precision is there. So if she just continues to mix it up a little bit more, I think she can go far. And this fight here is going to be a fight where it really pushes her abilities, I think. You know, Marina's going to be moving. Marina's going to be punching and striking volume. So we're going to have to see Amanda Lemos fight off a jab more here. She's going to be sticking that jab out. She's going to have to start methodically breaking her opponent down with leg kicks and fighting in the clinch. She's going to have to build up that strength in the clinch, I'm telling you. You know, Marina's got a good tie clinch. So it's going to have to fight. It's going to be a fight where Marina, where Amanda Lemos pushes Marina and shows us that she's ready for top five status, you know. Shows her that she can get in here with these different looks and start being more dominant again. So I just think this is one of those situations where Dana, he probably will reward Marina the title shot if she gets it. As for Lemos, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for her. I'd like to see her fight one more fight if she gets this win over Marina, though, you know, just because she's a couple of notches down. I want to see her do a little bit more before she can contend with, you know, Carla Wei Lee winner. That's just me, though. But I don't know. That night, depending on how she looks, it's probably going to make me say, oh, yeah, she ready. But we'll see, man. But, yeah, I just think that maybe Rose didn't really want to fight with Marina at this time, or, you know, Marina wanted to fight in October and Rose didn't. So, you know, they had to give her the next best thing and say, okay, well, this ain't a number three or number two, but if you can beat Amanda Lemos, we'll give you this title shot, right? Hopefully it leads to something for Marina. I mean, you know, for Amanda Lemos, I think this is going to be another fight where, you know, she's going to step her game up and we could see her go in there and do something big. So it's fireworks all around, man. We'll talk more about it, though, as we get closer to October, 22nd, right? So, yeah. But, speaking of Rose, if Rose can't do this fight with Marina Rodriguez, which I wanted to see, let's do the next best thing. I mean, what's wrong with this fight, huh? What is wrong with this fight right here? Rose Namajunas, if you can't do it with Marina, let's go ahead and get that third fight with Jessica Andrade. Let me get that third fight with Jessica Andrade, Rose. How about that? I like that fight. What about y'all? I mean, look, this fight here makes a lot of sense, man, because for one, Jessica Andrade and Rose, they make such a great style matchup. They both make each other fight. They really push each other. You know, when you put these two in the phone booth or just in the cage in general, they really push each other, and I love it, man. Andrade, Rose, they're 1-1 against each other. Andrade's out of the Manon fight, for y'all that didn't know, you know, for back injury. So who knows when she's going to come back. Might not be too serious of injury, so maybe by the end of the year, right? Rose Namajunas, like I said, is not lined up to fight Marina now. Who knows if it really was offered? I don't know. But Rose, if she still wants to hold her ground as one of the top strawweights, let's run it back with another dangerous opponent, huh? That's the only fight that makes sense. You know, they're the only fighters at the top. So why not? Let's see it. You know, let's see it. Because right now I'd like to see, for a couple reasons. For number one, Jessica Andrade needs to be a strawweight right now. I don't see her challenging for the flyweight belt anytime soon. So leave Manon alone. Leave Lauren Murphy alone. Tyler alone. Go back down to strawweight, where you have a better chance to gain that belt back. That's my thinking. As for Rose, number two, this fight makes sense because Rose needs to get back in good graces with the fans, with the WMMA fans. You know, she needs to build her strawweight stock up after that performance back in May against Carla Esparza, because that's what a lot of people talk about right now, right? So let's erase that Carla fight. Let's get back in there with Jessica Andrade and remember that warrior that we've seen take a broken nose and just keep on coming against Jessica Andrade, the one that got slammed on the neck and came back in the rematch and then got the nose broken. Yeah. And, you know, put up a good fight and won that split decision, right? So that's what Rose needs right now. You know, she needs that type of fight to erase that memory of the rematch of Carla Spartan. Now, I'm not saying she got to go in there and take that type of beating, but she got to go in there against somebody that's going to push her and pressure her. You know, let's see if she can go in there and still outclass Jessica Andrade, right? Let's just wake her up in a fight that we know is going to push her skills and make her throw hands and let her hands go, right, and her kicks go regardless. So, yeah, that's why this fight needs to happen to me. Some people say Madison Square Garden. I think sometime in December, whichever card is 282 in December. Yeah, let me know in the comment section. Whichever card in December, I want to see the year close out with these two fight a rubber match. So, yeah, it just needs to happen, man. Like, if Rose wants her stock to stay up in the strawweight division and Jessica Andrade wants to get closer to a title shot where it's most likely logical, she needs to go to this. She needs to go to this route. This route. They need to make this fight. You know, that's just my opinion. Still a lot of questions that need to be answered because that first fight, of course, it was done. You know, Jessica did what she did. But the second fight, it was still close. Some people still ask that question, like, what do you think? Do you think Rose really won that fight? I'm like, I thought she edged it out. You know, I thought she won it. Then there's people say, oh, no, Jessica Andrade beat the crap out of her in 2 and 3, and she took it. So I don't know. Andrade's skill set is so limited, but she can still push you. She'll push even the best technicians in the strawweight division, you know? So it's just like, ain't no shame in seeing it again. You know, let's see it again because, you know, again, Rose is going to have to fight in that fight. And it's going to make both of these fighters, you know, really dig deep. And they both need that now, especially Rose. So, yeah, that's the fight I want to see. That's the fight I definitely want to see now since, you know, we can't see Marina Rose and Manon and Jessica's off. So let me know, guys, what y'all think. But those are the main reasons why, like I said, you know, Andrade is better at 115 and Rose needs to build her stock up and erase that rematch from Carla. So, yeah. All right. And speaking of the 125 division, 125 pound division, again, last topic, just wanted to fill everybody in again. Chikagian and Manon are not fighting in September. I think Manon suffered a little injury. Don't know how serious it is, but the fight's now in the works for October 22nd for the UFC 280 card along with Marina and Lemos, which is a beautiful thing, man. You know, if we can get more explosive fights on that card, the better. So as long as the fight happens and they don't unmatch these two and, you know, throw these two in two different directions, I'm fine. Like, I don't want to see Chikagian against Murphy or Murphy against Manon right now. No. You know, keep the fight on. I don't care if you push it back to February. I still want to see this fight. So just make it happen as long as we can get that fight. I mean, it sucks it can't be on the first card in Paris or France along with Ciryl Gane against Tai Tuivasa. That would have been good for Manon. That would have been good promotion, man. Dang, I really hate that for her. But hopefully they can make this fight. It just sucks right now because, you know, Manon's really working hard. And it just seems like if it ain't somebody ducking her, it's somebody not calling her out. And if it ain't somebody calling her out, it's somebody pulling out of a fight. And if it ain't somebody pulling out of a fight with her, she's suffering an injury. You know, so it's one of four things all the time. So, you know, I just hate it for her right now. Hopefully she gets this fight, though. You know, patient, you know, being patient. It pays off, though, right? Good things come to those who's being patient. So, yeah, that's what it is. But, yeah, before I get up out of here, yeah, also the Tough 30 finale between Zach, how you pronounce his last name? Zach Perog and Muhammad Usman and the flyweight finalists, Juliana Miller versus Brogan Sanchez. Those two fights are on the August 6th card, not this Saturday, July 30th, but August 6th. They'll be on that card. They'll be on the main card, those two fights. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Juliana Miller, very tough up-and-comer. Brogan, the veteran from Invicta. You know, she's got a lot of good skills. She's getting older, though. We'll see how she plays it out against a relentless, tough, come-forward fighter in Juliana Miller. She can bang. She's got good grappling. You know, takes a lot of punches. You know, still growing as far as, you know, her defense. You know, still young, still a little wet behind the ears. But, you know, with Juliana Pena's guidance, I think that really molded her into a new fighter. Like, Juliana Miller, I ain't gonna lie, like, I seen some things about her when she fought early on in her career. Still a little wild, but she looked a lot better in the Tough House. Like, she really did transition to a different fighter, so I gotta give her credit with that. Like, and Juliana Pena as a trainer, like, that just shows you how good of a trainer Juliana Pena could be, because her knowledge and her tips and her techniques that she's been giving Miller or Juju has rubbed off on her. It really has. You can definitely see it. You know, even the way she throws her jab and the way she listens and the way she's pulling fighters off the cage and the way she's getting takedowns. Juliana Pena could do wonders, I think, in fighters' corners like even Mackenzie Dern. You know, girls that want to grapple and get takedowns, they need somebody like Pena in their corner. I ain't going to lie. You know, I think she's a pretty good trainer. So, yeah, guys, pretty good night of fights. Like I said, Saturday, Friday, Wednesday. But our final thoughts. Yeah, going back to Invicta FC, guys. Invicta FC 48, I enjoyed the card. Even the title fight was good. Like I said, fighters on that card, be on the lookout for fighters like Autumn Norton, Maria Hugic, Melissa Odessa Parker, Isis Verbeek. Those four fighters, I think they were really like the standouts for me. Christina Williams, you know, she's a good fighter. You know, of course, Tanisha Tennant. You know, there were all some good fighters on that card. So check it out. Let me know what y'all think about Marina Lemos again, Rose Andrade 3. And, yeah, who y'all got in the tough house? Who's gonna take it? I'm going to go with Muhammad Usman. I'm not sure, though. Zach is tough. Zach is a tough technical fighter in the heavyweight. You know, in the heavyweight division, I'm not sure. I'm going to lean towards Usman, though. And I think I might go with Juju. Yeah, I think I'll go with Juju. So, yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. Make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. Still on the road to a G. Still on the road to 1,000. So make sure y'all subscribe if you haven't. Subscribe to this show. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, LinkedIn, Google Play, all of that. And, yeah, I'll be putting this episode up soon. And be back with another one this week. Combo Breaker 99. Make sure y'all subscribe. I'm out. Peace.